All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, you can find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the topic that we're looking at tonight, and you'll have to forgive me, I don't remember if it was somebody here, or maybe it was on a Sunday, somebody else had asked this question, I'm not totally sure, but I remember it, and it's been a while, and I just had an opportunity to get into it and study it. I know what I've always believed. I believed that the answer to this question is yes. That's what I've always believed, but I've never really given it thought from a biblical perspective. I never really had a verse or a passage of scripture that I could point somebody to and say, well, this is why I say yes to this question. And so tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look to scripture to answer this question. And one of the most common questions that Christians ask, and it doesn't really matter the denomination of Christian, one of the most common questions that Christians ask is that because, you know, if you've lived long enough, you've had somebody in your life that you have loved and they have passed away, and you begin to wonder, well, and if you knew that they were a Christian, you knew that they were saved, am I going to see them again someday? And not only am I going to see them again someday, but will we know one another in heaven? And, with any question, and, you know, any question you can think of, the one of the simple truths of the matter is the Bible does not answer every curiosity that we have about heaven. It would be great if it did, but I mean, you think about how big the Bible would be if it answered every curiosity we had about heaven. I mean, let's just go off the top of our heads tonight, not thinking about this question of will we know each other in heaven, because that's what we're, you know, seeking to answer tonight, but what is something that you wonder about heaven? Anybody have a wonder that you kind of think about and, you know, you kind of scratch your head and think, man, I wonder what the answer to that is? Anyone have something like that?
That's the big one right there. I know you're referring to.
Okay, that's your big one. Okay, all right. Anybody else, something on your mind about, you know, something you think about heaven?
Okay.
Okay, all right, are we going to have food? And well, we know the Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, is that actual food or what is that? And so that's a interesting question. You know, are we going to have food? What's that? Are there bathrooms? Mandy asks me that all the time. Are there bathrooms in heaven? Are we gonna have to go to the bathroom in heaven? I don't, well, you know, perfect bodies. Perfect minds.
Perfect bladders.
Perfect bladders. That's right. We're never going to have to go to the bathroom. And so that I don't know. But, you know, that's one of the questions you might have. Do we have to go to the bathroom? One of the things I always ask is because, you know, I am a fan of darkness. Well, we know in the scripture, the Bible says, and in him there is no darkness. And, you know, we think about heaven, and heaven's a city of light, and well, you know, we know we're going to have our own mansions, and I wonder, well, am I going to be able to go into my mansion and, you know, maybe shut the blinds and, you know, enjoy some darkness? And, you know, probably not, but you know, these are things that we wonder about. But, you know, the Bible, again, it does not answer every curiosity we have about heaven, but what it does give us is it does give enough truth to give us confidence and hope. We can look at Scripture and we can be assured that, yes, there is a heaven. And that for those of us that know Christ, one day we are going to go there. We can look at the scriptures, we can look at the Bible, and we can have that confidence and we can have that hope. Now, the verse we're going to look at tonight teaches us that our knowledge, in other words, what we're going to know in eternity, will not be less than it is now. Right now, in this life, our knowledge is limited. And again, you know, as we get older, sometimes, you know, things we once knew or things that we could, you know, recall kind of right off the top of our head or right off the cuff, sometimes we can struggle with those things. Folks who deal with dementia or, what's the other?
Alzheimer's.
You know, it affects the mind. And so it hinders that knowledge that we once had. But you're there tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to, it's only 13 verses, and so we're going to, for the context of the verse, we're going to look at all and read all 13 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." And so, of course, we know what this chapter is. It's the great love chapter of the Bible. And this is now in the second half of the book of 1 Corinthians. Of course, the first half of 1 Corinthians, it was the Apostle Paul. He was correcting problems at the church of Corinth. And now here in the second half of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is now seeking to answer questions that the Corinthian believers have. And so now here in chapter 13, he's answering a question about love and about things that you might have. And so the first couple of verses, he's talking about the tongues of men, the he's talking about the gift of prophecy, giving all your goods to feed the poor, doing all these things. And he says, but if you don't have charity, that word charity means love. He says, if you don't have love, then you have nothing. And so he's trying to get the Corinthian believers to understand that as a church, you need to be a church and a people that you're defined by your love. That you that when people come in, that they know that they are loved. And so that's what he's trying to get them to understand. Then he goes on in verse number 5, verse number 6 and 7. and even verse number 8. And he says, okay, here's what love now will do. Here's what love will not do. And love now will stand. It will not fail. And he says, whether there be prophecies or tongues, knowledge, all of those things will cease. All of those things will vanish away. But charity, but love, that will remain. That is what shall endure. And then verse number 9, he says something very interesting. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And what he is trying to get the Corinthian believers to understand is that, and because we all fall guilty of this, is that we want to have the answers to everything. We want to be able to explain everything. We want everything. We want it to be no questions remaining. And that's just how we are. But Paul says, in this world, in this life, everything you do, knowledge-wise, prophecy-wise, you just know a little bit of the story. You don't yet know it all. You just know a very tiny fraction. But then verse number 10. But when that which is perfect is come. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his second coming. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So in other words, right now, we just have, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. And if you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together, and the greater the level of difficulty, sometimes, you know, you get stumped on those jigsaw puzzles to where, okay, where does this piece go? And where does it fit in there? No, it doesn't quite fit in there. And it takes you a while to get it complete and whole and perfect. But then finally, when it's whole and perfect, now you can see the whole picture. And so what Paul is saying here is that that day when Christ finally comes, the whole picture will now become clear. And he says here, then that which is in part shall be done away with, shall be done away. Now the picture will be made whole. And he goes on, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And then in verse number 12, for now, in other words, right now, where we are, we see through a glass. And it's a glass darkly. It's like if you were to take a glass bottle and you were to put some water into it, and then or maybe put some motor oil in it and dilute it, and you can kind of see through the glass a little bit, but it's a glass darkly. You can see through to the other side just a little bit. And that's what Paul is saying here. For now, where we are now, we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, in other words, when we're there with Christ our Savior, face to face, now, right now, where we are here in this earth, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And that's the key verse tonight, verse number 12. Specifically that last part. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And so there's four thoughts I want to give us tonight to answer the question, will we know each other in heaven? Number one, our knowledge will be perfected. Our knowledge will be perfected. Again, right now, today, our knowledge is limited. If I were to ask you, if I were to pull out the hardest math question I could think of, unless you were some super mathematician, you'd have a pretty difficult time answering that. Or if I were to ask, who was the 40 Or no, who was the 22nd president of the United States? Anybody know that off the top of your head? Who was the 22nd president? Okay, good, because I don't know either off the top of my head. Because our knowledge is limited. We don't just store the... You know, now, some of us, we might store random little facts, you know, in our brain and you know, at home. Years ago, my dad and I, we were going through BJ's Wholesale Club, and you know, they have in the middle of the warehouse, they have a book display, and I remember I saw this book, and it was the Big Book of Useless Information. I thought, hey, I need this book. And so I begged and pleaded with my dad, Dad, please buy this book for me. And so he looked at it, and he said, you don't need that book. I said, and my aunt was with us, and she was a school teacher, and she said, you can't deny the boy a book. And so she wound up buying me the book for me, and to this day, I have it. It's sitting on my bookshelf, and it's exactly what the name implies. It's the Big Book of Useless Information. I will never use anything in that book. It just caught my eye, and I wanted that book. It's the Big Book of Useless Information. I remember one year, it was, I think, either 2011 or 2012, and we had just finished up our missions conference at our church in Philadelphia. And then that coming Tuesday, and this is going to mean nothing to any of you, but it means something to me, because I'm the one who knows this little trivia fact, and it's the most useless trivia fact that you could ever know, unless you're a Batman fan. And they were having this midnight release of the new Batman video game, and so I went to my local GameStop at Broad and Jackson at midnight to buy the new Batman game. And they were having a trivia. And if you got answers right, you won prizes. And I remember they asked the question about the Batman villain who could change his identity. And he was a shapeshifter. And his name was Clayface. And, well, what was his real name? And, well, years ago, when the villain Clayface was first introduced, he was introduced as a movie actor by the name of Basil Carlo. And, well, this wasn't the answer they were looking for, because they were very specific about the villain who was in the 90s Batman animated TV show. And so I raised my hand like the nerd I was, and I said, I asked him a clarifying question, and, well, I got it right. It was Matt Hagen who was the answer. And again, is that ever going to help me with anything in life? Probably not, except I want a Joker standee that night. But our knowledge here is limited. But in heaven, we will know, the Bible says here, even as also I am known. And so that teaches us tonight that even if we lose recognition of those that we love, our knowledge will be diminished, not increased. One day heaven is going to bring fuller understanding, not less. And so one day, our knowledge is going to be perfected. And listen, here on this earth, listen, there are some smart people. There are really some smart people. You know, we've had people through our history, like Einstein and others, and scientists, and just, you know, amazing people. But even those people, their knowledge is limited. But if they have trusted Christ, one day when they get to heaven, their knowledge will be perfected even more so than it was here in this life. But not only will our knowledge be perfected, but number two, we look at the scriptures and we see in examples that the saints recognized each other. The saints recognized each other. Look, if you would, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And notice there verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here." And so right here we see Moses and Elijah, they were recognized by Peter and James and John on this Mount of Transfiguration. But then notice Luke chapter 16. Gospel of Luke chapter 16. And notice there, beginning in verse number 19. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse number 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And so we see here the rich man recognized Abraham and Lazarus after death. Now, some people teach that this account is a parable or a heavenly story. Or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but we know it's not a parable because we have names used. Jesus never used names if it was just a parable. This was a legitimate account of the rich man and Lazarus and Father Abraham, but they recognized each other after death. And then sometime before you go to bed tonight, go to 1 Samuel chapter 28, and you'll see that Saul recognized Samuel. And so we see that these examples show us that even after death, personal identity continues. You're still going to be you when you get to heaven, just with a new mind, just with a new body. You know, you're not going to have the health problems that you have here. You're not going to have the limited knowledge that you have here. But you're still going to be you. I'm still going to be me. And so we see the saints recognize each other. But then thirdly, and we talk about this sometimes almost as in passing when somebody passes away. But we talk about heaven, that being a place of reunion. And that's exactly what heaven's going to be. It's going to be one big, glad, happy reunion. I know Martha was talking about here coming up in August. She's having her yearly family reunion. And that's a joyous time, isn't it? When you get to see your family. You don't get to see them often. You know, and for those of you that don't get to see family often, when you get together, you know, for the most part, it's a joyous occasion. It's a wonderful time to see family you haven't seen in a while. Why? Because it's a time of reunion. It's a happy time. And that's what heaven's going to be. Those who have left us and gone on before us, it's going to be a place of reunion. Look, if you would, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And beginning at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that's the gospel right there. That's all you have to do to be sure that your sins are forgiven, that heaven's your home and you're going to heaven someday. Believe that Jesus died and he rose again. "Even so then, also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." That's where we get the concept of the word rapture. Again, the word rapture never appears in your Bibles, but the concept, the idea, the symbolism of the doctrine of the rapture appears, and it's here. That's what the word rapture means, to be caught up together. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And this reminds us tonight that as believers, someday we're going to be ever with the Lord, never to be separated again, never to be separated from the Lord, never to be separated from our loved ones. Go over, if you would, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12. A couple more portions of scripture tonight, and then we'll be done. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Way back in your Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And let's begin there at verse number 20. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, 'What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread.' And he said, 'When the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again?' Notice what he says. 'I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.'" David expected to go to his departed son and be with him once again. As believers tonight, you and I have that hope. We have that confidence. We have that assurance of joyful reunion in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly and finally tonight, our greatest joy will be seeing Christ. Our greatest joy will be seeing Christ. Go, if you would, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and then keep your finger in Corinthians, because we're going to see the connection. Revelation chapter 22. And keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 13, because we'll see the connection here. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, and we'll begin at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Remember, again in Corinthians, now we see through a glass darkly. That's where we are now. We're looking through that glass that is darkly. One day when we get to heaven, it's going to be that pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. No more that glass darkly. "Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, we'll eventually get into this on Sunday nights in our prophecy series. But just as an aside, the tree of life, we know that's a reference to Genesis. You can eat of all the trees except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so forth. The 12 manner of fruits, the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's symbolism here, and we'll get into that, the healing of the nations, and so on and so forth. Verse number 3 and verse number 4, these are the two verses we want to focus on. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." But verse number 4, "and they shall see his face." 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." And so one day, We shall see him. We shall see his face. We shall see him face to face. It will no longer be obscured. It will no longer be like we're trying to see him through a tinted window, through a glass that is dark. And every earthly relationship will then be perfected, because sin will be gone. There will be no sin there in heaven. And Christ will be the center of our worship and our joy. And so when we get to heaven someday, we will know more. We will not know less. Our identities, who we are, those, you know, will remain intact. Believers, Christians will be reunited. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandfather one day again. He's been gone now since I was in third grade. I think of that that phrase in Corinthians, that glass darkly. That's my memories of my grandfather. I have some good memories of my grandfather. Don't mistake it. I have good memories, but the older I get and the further I get from being that small child and knowing him, I have trouble. You know, it's like I'm remembering him through a glass darkly. And my mom, I'm going to see her again someday. We're going to be reunited with those who have gone on before us. You have folks tonight that you can probably think of right now. Those who have gone on before you, you know they were saved, you know they were born again, and maybe they've been gone a short time or a long time, but one day there's going to be that reunion, and we're going to see them someday. But best of all, we're going to see our Savior face to face, and heaven is where everything is finally made perfect. New mind, new body, new mansion. And the thing about the mansion is, here we have repairs on our house to make and things to fix. We won't have that in heaven. We're not going to have to go to doctors and, all that good and fun stuff that we have to worry about here. We won't have to worry about, I know Miss Martha, she's probably looking at the clock wanting to get home by 8 o'clock because she has medicine to take. Yes, in heaven, you're not going to have to get home by 8 o'clock to take medicine. And heaven's just going to be that perfect, glad reunion day. And so, I've always answered the question, yes, we're going to know each other in heaven. But we have, these assurances from the Bible that that's just not a hopeful, off the cuff type of answer that, oh yeah, we're going to know each other in heaven. No, the Bible, we see evidence of it in the Bible that we're going to know each other in heaven. And that's going to be a wonderful day when we see each other in heaven. And so, anybody have any questions or comments or anything like that tonight?
You said that never really answered that question. Somebody asked you.
Yeah.
You had a hard time finding it in the Bible.
Yeah.
Now you feel assured.
Exactly. And it wasn't necessarily that I had a hard time finding it. It was just that I had never, I never searched for it. Because, it was one of those questions, and I think we all have these, that it's just a common sense answer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like someone asks, well, are we going to know each other in heaven? And we just think, well, yeah, we're going to know each other in heaven. I remember years ago, my pastor got in trouble with this because he said from the pulpit one Sunday that there's not going to be animals in heaven. And so we had some animal lovers in the church and in the congregation. I don't necessarily know, if our animals are going to be in heaven. you know, like, you know, we talk about when we put an animal down, you know, they go to Rainbow Bridge, and well, you know, we don't see that in Scripture. We just don't. But I know there's going to be animals in heaven, and Mandy gave this thought to me years ago, and you know, why would God give us something that brings us so much joy, you know, in this world, and then not let us have it in heaven? And so now that's one of those things where, you know, I don't have Scripture for to point to that, you know, our animals will be there. But in, I think it's Isaiah, the Bible says, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb. And now again, there's some symbolism there about, you know, Christ being the lion and the lamb and so forth. And then there's other verses that mention different animals and things like that. And so, you know, we all have questions that, you know, sometimes they're just common sense answers, yes or no or whatever. So we never stop to think about, well, let me get a, you know, let me defend that from Scripture. And so when someone asks me that, I thought, well, let me, you know, I know my answer is yes, but let me study it out and get back with some Scripture and some concrete answers. And so, again, I don't know if that was any one of you guys that asked that question or was somebody on a Sunday morning, but hopefully it's been an encouragement, and at least now you'll be able to point folks to some passages that say, yes, hey, we will know each other in heaven. So would anyone like to close us in prayer tonight?